lesson today is recorded in the Revelation of St. John in the 20th chapter. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So far, our lesson. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, our Savior, and the dead were judged according to their works. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, Jesus speaks to us about the sheep and the goats at that judgment. Those who have done good, I was hungry and you gave me food, will be taken to everlasting life. And those who did not, Lord, when did we not feed you? They are taken to everlasting damnation. St. John, in his gospel, also records the words of Jesus. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And even if we know those words very well, we might still shudder a bit on one of those rare occasions when we recite the Athanasian Creed at the end. At his coming, all men shall rise with their bodies and give account of their own deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life, and those who have done evil will go into everlasting fire. So, what gives? Doesn't St. Paul and the rest of the Bible teach just as clearly? By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Is this at odds with our text from Revelation and those other passages? And they were judged, each one according to their works. It's true. We are judged according to our works. These words, as well as those others we have quoted, speak to us actually in two ways. First, they speak to our human flesh. These texts, the text of these days at the end of the church year, have that message of doom and judgment. And it's not always a very pretty message. It doesn't smell so nice as the manger at Bethlehem, we don't think. The first message in this judgment is to human flesh. That is, the human flesh that wants to be judged by its own works, according to its works. St. Paul writes in the 4th chapter of Romans, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. The scene Jesus draws in Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats represents that way of thinking. The goats who are condemned, they were proud of their works, and they really believed that they had served Jesus, fed him, clothed him, visited him in prison, comforted him. But their works were not so perfect as they thought. Their works, as good as they may have appeared on the outside, were shot through and through with their corruption. And so they are judged, as they want to be, according to their works. St. Paul writes in the second chapter of Romans, "In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Quoting from Psalm 62. And that's the harsh message of the law to those who want to be judged according to the law. Okay? Have it your way. And this is the judgment. But the other message is the message of comfort and hope to those who stand before the judge in humility and repentance, not pointing to their own works, but to the works, the righteousness of Christ himself. They are like the sheep in Jesus' Judgment Day picture, when the judge remarks how they had fed and clothed and visited him. They were mystified. They didn't put their trust in their own works. They didn't even recognize them as their good works. In fact, the righteousness with which they stood before the judge was the very righteousness of that judge, Jesus Christ. Through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, St. Paul says. And that's the same gospel that was also preached by Peter. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Paul writes, "To him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Christ's perfect righteousness, that is yours through the faith which God has given you. Indeed, we are justified by a righteous life, but it's not the righteous life of our own hands and our own mouths and our own hearts. It is the righteous life of our Lord, our brother, who became one of us, who humbled himself by submitting to that law in our place, who bore the suffering and the death which belongs to us. We are indeed judged by what we have done, and that is what we have been given in Christ, as St. Paul writes to the Galatians, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ," in the sense of being dressed in the garments of his righteousness and not our own. The names written in the book of life are written with the ink of Christ's blood and righteousness. The only reason that your name is written there is because of what your Lord Jesus has done in your place as the innocent lamb led to the slaughter. And so St. John also writes about them. "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God." So do not let your name be erased from that book of life because you would rather be judged according to your own works and not those of Christ, which have been given to you as a free gift. Though our flesh trembles at the voice of judgment that we hear, our hearts of faith rejoices in the promise of the one who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. We sing the hymn.